5 points. If you're a note taker, how does God want you to study His Word? He wants you to study His Word with prayer, with meditation, with faith, with delight, and then finally, with action. That first one is with prayer. Over and over again in this psalm, you see something like you see in verse 18, where it says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Or 119:130 says, "The unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." You see things like this over and over again. And this is David, who is called a man after God's own heart. And so from this, we understand that when we go to God's Word, we have to go to it prayerfully. If you treat God's Word as if it's something you can just read and understand up here, if the stories are just stories, it's never going to make sense to you. What they mean and the wisdom they give will never make sense to you. And so David over and over again says, "God, open my eyes so I can see your word." David, as a king of Israel from Deuteronomy 17, is responsible to know God's law well. And even David, who knew God's law really well, God's word really well, he continually asked, "God, open my eyes so that as I'm reading it, I could see something and how this applies to me." The second thing you see in Psalm 119 over and over again is that we need to study God's word with meditation. With meditation. Over and over again, you see this. Verse 15 of this says, "I will meditate on your precepts," or your word. "I will fix my eyes on your ways." Or verse 27 says, "Make me understand the ways of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works." Verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day." 148 says that he's going to meditate on God's word before the watches of the night are over. In other words, while the night shift is still going in the early morning, he's going to be meditating on God's word. And 164 says, "Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules." And that's not literally seven times. He's saying throughout my entire day I am. If you treat God's word like it's something you pick up, a verse a day keeps the devil away, a chapter a day keeps the devil away. I can read a few verses here or there and it'll make me better. I think you're missing out. God wants us to meditate on his word all the day, and the reason for that is because it renews our mind. Another way to say that is it kind of forms the way we should think about life, about sin, about eternity, and about important things. You see this over and over again. I mean, the word renew is used in Ephesians 4:23, Colossians 3:10, Romans 12:1-2. Talk about thinking of the gospel so that it forms your mind, so you see how you're supposed to view things. And there are other verses that talk about consider or make this your mindset. Colossians 3 says, "Set your mind on things that are above." We're supposed to meditate on God's word throughout the day. And I realize you each have jobs where you're going and you're working it, and you can't just sit there and like study God's word all day long. And that's not what this is talking about. David was a king. He had a lot of responsibilities. He's saying that as he thought about God's word, he kept it in his heart throughout the day, and he remembered it, and he thought about it, and it was important to him. And so my encouragement to you is you got to pray before you study God's word, but you also have to meditate on it. You study it, and then you bring it with you throughout the day. The third one is with faith. This is not a fact finder. These are historical facts in God's word. This is truth. But the goal isn't necessary. The goal is to reveal wisdom to you, to help you understand the true nature of this world, understand sin, understand what God has for you. That's his goal in giving us this word. And that means when you read it, you have to read it with faith. David says in verse 140, Your promise is well tried. Your servant loves. In other words, God promised something, and over and over and over again, God has come through exactly like he promised. I can tell you, and you heard testimonies of my mom and dad, I was raised in a good home. I was raised in a Christian home. I learned about Jesus from the time I was young, and I praise God for that. But even I had to experience the fact that the promises of God are worth being trusted. And my dad listed one that I had in my sermon, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive sins. He is, if you will go to him and confess. I had to experience that for myself. And so over and over again, I have gone to God, and I have found that in the blood of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ has died on the cross, God looks at me and forgives me for my sin and loves me. So when you read God's word, you read it with faith. And it's important to kind of treat it that way. And kind of hand in hand in that is the fourth point here. And that is that we read it with delight, with delight. This word comes up over and over again in this psalm. Verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Let me ask you, how often have you delighted more in God's word than in your paycheck at the end of the week? Your tax return. That's not meant to guilt you. I want to reform your view on things. I need you to understand that these words are more precious than life itself. And when God gives you life in these words and he makes you wise to salvation, no doubt you can't put a dollar amount on this. You can't put a dollar amount on what you understand. You know, money doesn't buy happiness, and it certainly doesn't buy life. Jesus Christ's blood bought life for us. And so you see this over and over again, that one delight. And this might involve some discipline. Some of you are like, I don't really delight in reading God's word right now. Sometimes you kind of got to get better at it. So for instance, I was thinking about this as an illustration. You know, there are naturally gifted athletes out there. Now, I look around at you guys, and I don't see any Division I, NBA, NFL-style athletes out there. I love you. I don't see that. But there are guys out there that are just made, it looks like, to play basketball, you know? And these people might have a gift, but if it's not developed, they'll never see the NBA. They'll never see the NFL. And that's just the thing. God can give you understanding, and he can make his words delightful to you, but if you don't develop that discipline to understand God's word, if you don't strengthen your ability to understand it, it takes time and practice to read God's word and understand how it works together, and then to read, you know, Genesis and say, oh, okay, that's what he was talking about in John or in Romans. That takes strengthening, but that's okay. You're not expected to be an expert at it when you first start, but the goal is to strengthen yourself and give yourself kind of a broad understanding of it, understand the grand scheme of the Bible, that from the beginning of creation, when mankind sinned, God had set up a plan for us to be saved in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God is, and that's what the Word of God tells us on every page. Every page, it teaches us that truth. It always is pointing us forward to the fact that we can be forgiven for our sin in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Christ, our Lord. And finally, you see here that we should study God's Word with action, with action. Verse 111 says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That I might not sin against you. Why? What is the purpose of meditating on God's word? It's so that we won't sin against God. And again, 106, I've sworn an oath and I've confirmed it. I will keep your righteous rules. It's a commitment to God. Give me understanding, God. This is a prayer. Give me understanding so that I will keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. What would you think if somebody had the cure for cancer and they didn't give it to the world? It's awful. The same thing is true when you understand God's word, but you don't live it out. You don't let it change your life. James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. I'm sure this has happened to many of you mothers. Did you, you know, you call down the stairs, did you clean up your room yet? Call up down the stairs 10 minutes later, did you clean up your room yet? Did you hear me? Did you clean up your room yet? It's like, yes, Mom, I heard you. That's not what I asked. Did you clean up your room yet? It's the same way. God's calling to us. He's calling to us. He gives us these sweet words of life. They're not just rules, but they are wisdom and they are life. They're righteousness. They're joy and peace. And we're called to live these out. The purpose of God's word is to not just make us believers, but doers. But get that in the right order. We believe first. And because we believe God loves us and forgives us for our sins, we act in love back towards God. Don't get that flipped around. Don't say, well, I'll be a doer and that'll earn God's love for me. That's never the way God works. I know it's the way some fathers work. I know that's the way employers work. It's not the way God works. He gifts you his love, his forgiveness for sins. It changes you from the inside out and causes you to want to live a righteous life. Get that order right. So let me apply this in a few ways. Number one, like I said before, pray before you start reading or studying the Bible. This is one of the most important practices I've gotten into. God, open my eyes so that I can see the truth in your word. Some of you need to pray that physically because you're laying on your bed with your head on your pillow as you're trying to read. God, open my physical eyes. That's probably not the best way to study God's word. But I'm talking spiritual eyes here. God, open my spiritual eyes so that I can see what this is telling me. To develop kind of a study plan that allows you to get through the scripture and understand it. You don't have to read the whole thing. Not right away. Eventually, it'd be a great goal. Why don't you start with the book of John? You know, why don't you start with the book of 1 John? Why don't you start with one chapter? Why don't you start with John 3:16? Why don't you start with one verse? But you got to develop a way to understand what it's saying. And this might involve one day for you to read a doctrine book. And a good place to start, if you want to write this down, is a book called Christian Beliefs by Grudem. This is a book that's very short, and it's the 20 basic Christian beliefs that, you know, every Christian believes, okay? It's pretty short. It's reasonably short. It just explains them to you. It's a good place to start. So that when you go in the Bible and you see the word justification, a big word, you'll be able to understand what it means. Second, reading a survey of the Bible could help you. I've got a book called The Stranger on the Road to Emmaus that walks through the Bible from Genesis to the end. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a good book. And it really does a good job with it. And I could buy one for you. I could give you my copy. So if you want to read through it to understand kind of better what God is saying, that would be a good book to start with. Third, you could read a commentary about the Bible, and if you haven't ever read a commentary, I'd probably start with just a study Bible. Barnes & Noble has them. I was just there Friday night. They have them. Go there. You're looking for the ESV study Bible. That's the study Bible I use. I love it. It's a good study Bible. And what happens is on the top of the page will be the Bible, the verses, and then at the bottom of the page, they explain them to you. That's pretty handy, right? I really like those. Here's a few hints. When you read a verse, ask, what's the main point? Ask, what is this passage trying to say in 5 or 10 words? and maybe underline the key words in that passage. So you see the word, you know, for God so loved the world, you could underline love. That helps you start to understand and digest what it's saying. So one of the basics of kind of just studying a verse out, though, would be very simple. Like I said, number one, ask what's the main point? What's it trying to say? Second, you could reword it in your own words. That's what I do often. That's like my favorite way to try to study the Bible, is try to re-say what that verse said in a different way. And then third, underline key words, key phrases, things like that, okay? So those are some good steps to just starting to study the Bible out. Three, and this one's an important one, so listen to this one. Locate God's promises and underline them. 1 John 1:9 is a good place to start. It says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll do it. Matthew 28 says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. There are promises in God's word, and I think we should probably underline them more. Sometimes I think we just read them and kind of gloss over them. When you see a promise in God's word, underline it and then believe it. And that kind of goes with my fourth point, because I think belief and delight are pretty close, in my opinion. Belief and delight are pretty close. They're like sisters. Not exactly the same, but they're similar. So the fourth point then is delight. How do you delight in God's word? Well, I'll just say this first. It may be time for you to get a version of the Bible that you can understand. All of the versions of the Bible you have today are translations from the Greek or from the original languages that we have. So it's not like somebody reworded the King James, and then somebody reworded the New King James, and somebody reworded the ESV. That's not the way it works. Okay, we go back to the originals, and we retranslate them in different ways so that you can kind of understand it better. The one we read, I think, is the one I suggest most. It's called the, and you'll probably want to write this down, the HCSB. Okay, the HCSB. That's the one we read up here. I think it's one of the most easily understandable and like literal versions that there are out there. I love that version. But I bought this Bible, and it's expensive, and I started taking notes in it, so I don't want to stop using this one. So I still use the ESV, and that's my second favorite. Okay, both of these basically, they say the same thing. They just kind of say it in a little different of a way. Okay? That helps with delight. When you can't understand it, it's hard to delight in it. So I just want to encourage you in that. But a few other things for your delight. Ask you a question. When was the last time you were reading God's word and you stopped and you thanked God for what he just said? Or you stopped and you started singing something similar to what was just said? This was encouraged to me this week, and so it's something I've kind of started to do more. One of the best ways to delight in it is when you're reading through it, and God says he loves us, he demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. One of the best ways is we look at that, and we say, thank you, God, that you showed your love to me, and that now, while I was still a sinner, I didn't have to be righteous for you to die for me. But you died for me anyway so that I could be forgiven for my sin. Thank you, God, for that. That will increase your delight as you read through them. It'll increase how much you enjoy what you read. And a second part of that is, and important with this, is singing. Singing and having a wide variety of songs to choose from. You know, I made a joke to Daniel today. That last song we sang, You Are My King, that was written in 96 in like an era, it's since changed, that's like almost 20 years ago. In an era where songs that were coming out were like all no truth, like hardly anything. They said the word God once in a while. And yet they produced that song and it says, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. He's talking about Jesus on the cross. I'm accepted by God, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well, your spirit's within me. And don't miss, Daniel pointed this out, don't miss the causal word, because you died and rose again. I'm alive and well, your spirit's within me, because you died and rose again. And it says, amazing love, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, I honor you. I sing, Well, I'm sorry. Thank you for your honesty, though. I'll do my best. Do you want to lead singing next week, Sean? Okay, yeah. No, you know, there's hymns that you have a hymn full, and I honestly do. We sing, we try to sing about a hymn, maybe two hymns. Sometimes the second hymn is redone or something in each and every service, because I value hymns. I was taught them from the time I'm young, and I can't describe to you as many times as I've read God's word, and all of a sudden I've been humming an old hymn that I haven't sung in years. I don't even, like, and I'm like, I wonder how that goes. Look it up in the hymnal. But that's not it. I mean, there's good songs that are written, I would say, in a little bit more modern English today. A good place to start, Sovereign Grace music. We sing a lot of their songs. Did you know that? Probably did. We sing a lot of their songs, okay? They're a good place to start. They have CDs you can listen to about God's great love for us that have great truth in them, and I've been finding myself singing some of those over and over, over and over. And then little choruses. It's amazing. Finally, five, apply it to your life. Ask yourself this question when you read a verse. What do I need to change or continue to grow in from this verse? Maybe it's just a promise. Maybe it's a promise that God will be with me, and I need to believe that God's with me because I've been accepted through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it could be, well, you know, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins. Well, I don't always confess as quickly as I should. Oh, you know what? I should confess my sins more readily to God, knowing that he's going to forgive me and cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. So what do I need to change? What do I need to grow in or continue to grow in? So those are some applications from the one last week, and I encourage you to take those with you. Let's take a moment to pray, and we're going to close our service with that song that we just quoted.